Hi, welcome to another edition of Health First, and today we will be talking to Dr. Gifford Jones and Dr. Adele Ryan McDell. Before we do that, I'm going to give you Reg here for health news.
First up, shift work may harm your health, a new study warns. Researchers examined data on 1,600 people in Wisconsin, comparing the health of shift workers with those who worked a 9-to-5 schedule. The results showed shift workers were more likely to be overweight than people who didn't do shift work, 48% versus 35%. Shift workers were also around 10% more likely to have sleep problems, get too little sleep, and be excessively sleepy. Shift workers may also be more likely to develop metabolic disorders such as diabetes, according to the study. Although the study found an association between shift work and health issues, it wasn't designed to prove whether working rotating shifts actually caused these problems. The results were published May 18th in Sleep Health, the Journal of the National Sleep Foundation. A new Israeli study suggests if laughter is the best medicine, that may be doubly true for kids undergoing surgery who were cheered up by visiting clowns. This study included children ages 2 to 16 undergoing outpatient urology surgery at Jair Zedek Medical Center in Jerusalem. The children were divided into two groups. In one group, the surgical team included a medical clown in the operating room to help entertain the kids. The results suggest a funny intervention can make a serious impact on kids' well-being. The clown's antics were tied to less anxiety for kids before and after surgery, less time in the operating room, lower levels of pain, and shorter time to discharge from the hospital, the study found. Related reductions in surgery and recovery time led to a cost saving of more than $461 per patient. The study was presented at the annual meeting of the American Urological Association in New Orleans. A little exercise late in life may help men live longer, new research from Norway suggests. The study of older men found increasing physical activity benefited lifespan as much as quitting smoking. The research involved 6,000 Norwegian men born from 1923 to 1932 who underwent a health check in 1972-73 and again in 2000. Monitoring continued for almost 12 years. Through 2011 in the study, more than 2,000 men died. 51% of men who were sedentary in their 70s died from any cause, compared to about one quarter of those who were moderately to vigorously active. The researchers found just 30 minutes of moderate activity 6 days a week was associated with a 40% lower risk of death. The study appeared May 14th in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. And finally, a new study suggests people with short-term debt, such as overdue bills or credit card debt, are more likely to be depressed than those who carry long-term debt through mortgages and other big loans. This suggests providing people with protection from debt might lead to mental health benefits. However, while the study found short-term debt and depression were associated, it didn't prove one causes the other. This study relied on a national survey of more than 13,000 Americans from 1987 to 1989 and follow-up interviews of about 10,000 of those people from 1992 to 1994. The researchers focused on people between the ages of 21 and 65. The study was published in the May issue of the Journal of Family and Economic Issues.
Hi, welcome back to Health First, and we are going to start the show talking to Dr. Gifford Jones. And we will get right online. Dr. Jones.
And good afternoon, Gary.
Well, good. I was going to say I'm Gary Kibsey. I'm not Dave Fuller. We get confused quite often. He asked me to fill in today. I read your book. I do have a question. Can I call you Gifford? Or are you okay with that?
You can call me Gifford or Gif. Why don't you call me Gif?
Oh, I like that. Good. Okay. You know, I read your book, and I was impressed with several things, and I would just really like you to tell us what you've learned with your longevity of you're over 90 years old, I understand.
Yeah, I'm 91, actually. So I've been around a long time, Gary, and I think I've reached that age combination of, you know, good luck and also living a sound lifestyle, which I think, unfortunately, most people don't do. It's the old story that, remember the cartoon character Pogo? He said, we've identified the enemy, and the enemy is us. And too many people are still smoking, too many people are still getting obese, and developing these chronic diseases that really should never happen.
I'm impressed, believe it or not, I'm impressed with one thing in particular. How did you manage to keep your own teeth that long? That's, to me, is amazing.
Well, that's interesting. I guess by brushing them three times a day, but even more important than that, I use the Stimulants and dental floss every day. And I think in the book I mentioned the fact that if you eat blueberries or really anything and go and brush your teeth a dozen times, you're still left with food between the teeth. And unless you use a Stimulant or some kind of pick to get rid of that material, I think that's where you get a lot of dental decay. And I think that's been a big factor in holding on to my teeth. I haven't lost one tooth yet.
Right. Now, the thing I found amazing here, too, was you're a surgeon, a retired surgeon, I understand, and probably have a lot of experience in that way, opening people up and seeing what goes on the inside. You're a proponent of ascorbic acid and lysine, Medi-C. You're going to have to sell me on that one. And you don't have to sell me on the sex or the rum. You would have to sell me on the Diet Coke, of course. But just to give people an idea where you could go with this, help us out here. There's a lot of people who need some wisdom advice. And
well, I think I wouldn't be talking to you today, Gary, if I hadn't had the wonderful good luck of interviewing Linus Pauling about 25 years ago. And in spite of leading a good lifestyle, I did have a heart attack at 74, and I was told by my doctors, by my own cardiologist, and every cardiologist I had interviewed, that I would be dead in a couple of years, and it was a severe heart attack, and unless I went on statin drugs, namely the cholesterol-lowering drugs, I would be dead in a couple of years. I did not want to do it because I had interviewed Linus Pauling and was well aware of the unintended consequences of taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. So 17 years ago, I started taking 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day and 5,000 of lysine. And I kept doing that over the last 15 years until about 2 years ago, I ran into Dean Parks, who is president of Preferred Nutrition. And when he heard what I was doing, he said, you know, I could stop you from swallowing 30 pills a day and make a powder of vitamin C and lysine. And that's why 2 years ago, Medi-C Plus was born, and why I've been helping to talk about it since that time, because I got tired of swallowing 30 pills a day. But anyway, I think it's whether you swallow the 30 pills a day or take the Medi-C Plus, the point is high doses of vitamin C have now been shown to not only prevent coronary artery atherosclerosis, namely hardening the arteries, but they have also been shown to literally reverse it once it's present. And we now have pictures of the retina which show that after a period of time, being on high doses of C and lysine, the hardening of the arteries starts to go away. That is a monumental discovery. And it's was done by discovered by Dr. Sidney Bush in England about 10 years ago. I wasn't aware of it until about 3 years ago and wrote about it. And as I say, it really is an amazing discovery because we always thought that once you get hardened arteries in the heart or elsewhere, they're hardened for life. Now we know you can reverse them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I've always been concerned about the isolate factor of ascorbic acid being an isolate part of a whole unit of vitamin C family from a berry, for instance. And I've always suggested people go for the whole package, the flavonoids and everything. Prior to that, I would say if you're going to isolate it, do it intravenously. But I find it interesting with the results I've been getting with Medi-C, where people have been, you know, major hemorrhoid condition dissolving. And then I read your book, and I found, you know, I don't have a lab in my basement, so I have to listen to testimonials. And I'm really paying attention to this product and your whole story revolving around it. It's very, very interesting.
I think the sad thing, Gary, is that in spite of all the writing I've done in my column, and I've been across the country, you know, speaking about it for the last couple of years, the medical establishment, they have a blind eye towards it. They just refuse to believe it and believe that cholesterol-lowering drugs are the be-all and end-all to treat the cardiovascular disease, namely heart attack. And yet, when you consider the unintended consequences, the greater the risk of liver disease, kidney disease, muscle problems, emotional problems, the risk of cataract formation, and more even importantly, the risk that the recent studies have shown that people on long doses of or high doses of vitamin C and lysine, or pardon me, on high dose of cholesterol-lowering drugs, have a 25% to 50% chance of developing type 2 diabetes. Now, that is a horrendous situation. When you consider that there are millions of people are on cholesterol-lowering drugs, and if millions of people are on them, 25 to 50% are going to develop type 2 diabetes, and we know if you have type 2 diabetes, you've got a 50% chance of developing a heart attack and dying. This means a lot of people are going to be injured by cholesterol-lowering drugs rather than helped. I don't know whether you've been aware of that point.
Mm-hmm. The type 2 diabetes, I was informed by a medical doctor actually about 20 years ago. He said it will be the major killer of the future, and he's so right. But I really wanted to zero in on the cholesterol factor. You, as a doctor, of all people, can comment on the cholesterol drugs, the cholesterol-regulating drugs, CLDs, you call them. I get asked in the store as a health, as a herbalist, very often, while I'm taking Lipitor, I'm taking another cholesterol-reducing drug. And what's your feelings on that?
Well, I think if I were the Minister of Health, Gary, I would ban cholesterol-lowering drugs, period. I think they're dangerous, and you can lower cholesterol by other means. But the point is that many people I see are worried about their cholesterol levels. And we know now that whether you have a high or low cholesterol has very, very little effect on whether you have a coronary attack. You can have a high cholesterol, not have a coronary attack, and vice versa, a low cholesterol, and have one. So that people do zero in on the numbers when they should be trying to realize that if you take high doses of C and lysine, you have open arteries, relatively speaking, your cholesterol levels really mean very little.
Right, and you know
the question.
With the old adage, eggs causing, you know, cholesterol buildup, I think you could probably comment on that as well.
Will you repeat that, please?
Well, eggs, eating eggs,
well,
I've heard
eggs,
people
advise. I eat all the eggs I want. You cannot, that's a myth. You can eat a lot of eggs because 95% of the cholesterol you have in your body is manufactured by your liver. And you, by dietary means, it's very, very hard to regulate your blood cholesterol. As a matter of fact, if you don't eat much cholesterol, your liver manufactures more of it. If you eat too much, it manufactures less. So it's almost like the thermostat in your house when making it hot or cold. The liver is really what governs your cholesterol level, and that is, of course, a genetic situation.
So your liver is going to produce it regardless, but we can help it. I just wanted to backtrack a little bit. I'd like to move ahead with it, but the lysine, what's the connection with that and the ascorbic acid as a maybe delivering agent, or maybe comment on that?
Yes, if you were building a house of concrete, you would add steel rods to the cement to make the concrete stronger. We now physiologically, and it's been proven that if you add lysine, which is an amino acid, to the vitamin C, it makes the arterial wall stronger. In effect, if that blood vessel in your brain is going to break, less frequently, causing a brain attack or stroke, if you have lysine in the arterial wall, it makes it just a stronger artery.
Okay, that's very interesting. Gifford, we're going to take a break here, and we will be back with you in a spell.